Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome to Friday Form Focus. Great to have Mick Sharkey in the studio. Shark, what a meeting to get our teeth into at Flemington tomorrow.
Fair meeting, Michael. Yeah, it's pretty solid, isn't it? Looking forward to getting out there and having a bit of fun at headquarters.
Yeah, and great stuff from the VRC. I see in the inside front page of the Herald Sun today, they're going to have everyone that comes here gets a Winx flag. Blue will be the colour of the day. And something which will be very, very good for you is that I believe for this year's spring this year's spring carnival, they've relaxed the dress standard for the members.
Yes.
You don't have
shorts
to wear socks.
No socks.
You can get away without wearing socks.
Oh, now listen. Look, I know there's a bit of a trend out there amongst our hipster brethren who maybe spend a little bit too much time on Instagram wishing they could be like people that are probably professional models. If you want to keep your shoes for more than a season, please wear socks. I'm trying to explain that currently to my five-year-old daughter. This is actually true, who's decided she wants to wear runners with no socks. You could kill a brown dog when she takes them off. Yep. They can walk themselves outside
those shoes. Could you imagine 12 hours at Flemington on Derby Day, no socks?
Oh, yes. And imagine if you just had a few beers and you're looking good, you got the no socks, and you find a nice young person of the opposite sex, you decide, oh, well, I might take her out for dinner here or take him out for dinner. Things progress. You get the shoes off. Stinky. The night comes to an end. You don't want that to happen.
Anyway, that is the new... and do you know who's the most excited about that? I know Jum O'Neill has...
Jum O'Neill.
Hasn't been wearing socks for years.
He's off his head. This is the best year of his life. Tigers and no socks.
I think Jakey Norton's a no-sock man as well.
Oh, come on, Jake. You're better than that.
Yeah, no, terrible, terrible. But for the fashion conscious and the hipsters, they'll be at Flemington this spring carnival.
Celebrate. Stroke your beard.
Geez, good to see Winx in town. What's your thought, just quickly before we get to some big breaking news about a horse who's not going to run at Flemington, what is your thought on Sky Fire Magic Cool taking their place in
Great.
The Turnbull?
Good on them. If they want to do that, that's their right. I don't understand what the big hubbub is about. Would you rather have a field of five horses and two of them probably can't win? So it's, we know the result. Winx is going to win. Does it really matter if a couple of battlers want to throw a horse in there? They're totally entitled to. They haven't been told they're not allowed to. So where's the problem?
We just don't want them to get in the way.
Look, there's uncompetitive sports teams all the time. Every weekend, around the country, suburban, footy, whatever. Does the other team say, ha, mate, we're not going to risk any of our good players here. Can you just not turn up?
But should there be a standard for the Group 1 races?
Maybe.
That you have to
maybe,
be up to a certain standard to compete?
Can our sport afford to start restricting people who are paying money to race a horse and have it in training? If they want to throw it in a race that they're no conceivable chance of winning, are we going that well as a sport to say, sorry, you can't play?
Mm.
I think we should be saying to everyone, you can play and you can do whatever you want, really. Like, if you want to enter a horse here, there, we're celebrating a maiden, a 50 grand maiden next week. Well, it was all over the news this week. Celebrating, and the way it was sold was we're celebrating horses that, are basically uncompetitive. Why can't Skyfire run in a Turnbull?
All right, Mick Sharkey's up and about today.
That's as good as it gets from me today, by the way. Sorry, I peaked early.
No, that better not be, because I want some guaranteed winners from you. I'll tell you one horse that won't be winning tomorrow, and he's been one of the best backed earlier today after Dean Lester picked him out in the UCI Stakes, Sir Como. Brad Taylor from Anthony Freeman Stables on the line. How are you, Brad?
Good, thank you. How are you, boys?
I'm very well. Disappointed to hear that Sir Como's coming out. What's the reason why?
Yeah, like us, we're very disappointed. We expect him to go a bold race tomorrow, stepping up to the trip. But just left a little bit of feed overnight and had a slight temperature, so we've just treated him, taking the patient approach, and we'll look to get him back to the races next week or the week after and go from there.
I know you're on a Derby prep. Well, that's the ultimate goal. How much of a hindrance is this?
We probably are going to bypass the Victorian Derby, and he'd rather take the patient approach. I think the main aim is going to be the 1800 metre race on Melbourne Cup Day. So it's not too much of a hindrance for that. It's probably a help, really, just give us a big gap between us last round the other day at Benalla. So it's not a major concern for us. He's a horse that's going to improve again next prep. So I'd say the Derby in the autumn, whether it's Adelaide or Sydney or Brisbane, is probably more of an aim than than the Victorian Derby this year.
Well, I know we can't get futures markets on that listed race on Oaks Day, but I think, Brad, you've just had a few punters writing that name down because he's clearly a class animal and he'll be better than listed grade in time. You've got a couple of other females running around tomorrow at Flemington, Pageantry and the Manifold Petition in the Blazer. How are they progressing?
Yeah, really good. Pageantry was a bit unlucky last time. Her run was a lot better than it reads on paper. I think she finished about four lengths from the winner and probably should have been a lot closer. She didn't get all favours up the straight. So the step up to trip is going to help her. The only thing's the sticky barrier, but she'll probably get back a bit and hopefully she can get a bit of cover three deep and get clear out the straight. And I think she's probably over the odds at what the price she is. So she's definitely a nice place chance in an even field of fillies. Petition was a bit unlucky. We just had to ride her a bit close with the way Caulfield was playing last time. Her work on Tuesday morning was very strong. Her rider got off and said she certainly improved out of her last start. So this has always been the aim, to get her into these sort of black type races in the spring. She also has drawn a bit sticky, but Luke's in good form. He's ridden a couple of winners for us lately, so we'll leave it up to him. And back at Flemington, certainly a massive positive for her. So expect her to run a big race.
All right, good on you, Brad. Fingers crossed with Petition. You're giving us a nice little steer at a Pageantry at a nice price there in the Manifold as well. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, boys.
Brad Taylor, and just Anthony Friedman's stable is just flying at the moment.
Going very well. Yeah, absolutely going very, very well. And tell you what, that Sokomo, that's good information too, that he won't be going towards the Derby, because I think most just assume that off that,
that's right,
that run, that's where he's heading, and the style of horse he is as well. So heading towards that 1,800-metre listed race on Oaks Day, and it'll take a horse to beat him there. You know, especially that he's been specifically set for that contest, because a lot of horses go there sort of as a bit of an afterthought.
Well, it's going to be a big day at Flemington tomorrow. 9 races. Let's get the latest from Mick Goody, the trackman. How are you, Mick?
I'm well, Michael. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, mate. Can't wait for tomorrow. Have you had much rain at Flemington or had to water over the last 24, 48 hours?
Yeah, no, we've watered every night this week. We got a mill overnight, put 6 on. It's been 3 this morning. It's 9.9. I haven't got the inside and outside yet. I've got to wait till it gets back in the office. But, we'll put some more water on tonight and try and have it in that low, good fall range up. Get to a good 3 early in the day. But we'll have a look how much we need to put on tonight.
Yep, roll out 9. How do you expect it'll race?
It'll race well. It's in good nick, and I think it's been racing pretty fair and even for a while, so I couldn't see anything that's going to change it.
Any idea, not overly big fields down the straight, but which way will they come, do you think?
Well, last week they seemed to use the whole, just hold their gate, didn't they? They seemed to just come out and go down the line. The last race was won by the horses down the outside 4 or 5 metres, but early in the day it was towards the inside, so I'd expect similar.
Enjoy tomorrow, Mick. Good luck.
No worries. Thank you.
Mick Goody at Flemington. So good 3 surface. There'll be nothing to worry about. We know people have been talking about Winx. She wants a bit of cut out of the ground, but she's been racing on rock hard tracks her last couple, so I wouldn't have any issues there. Overall, are you confident from a punting perspective tomorrow?
When am I not confident? I think last time I was in here, I was crying about how confident I was. Went like a bastard. And then last week, you had David Gately on, stole my seat. And I saw you tweeting out that, he tipped half the card at Moonee Valley.
Well,
mate, I tipped the whole card.
You did.
So you know what will happen.
You did not.
This week I won't get one.
Well,
I did. I'm telling you.
And while we're handing out bouquets, what about Matty Welsh yesterday? Tipped the first winner at paid $20 for the trial file followers.
He was due.
You're due. Let's get straight into it, because I want to have a look at the first race here, and it is the Maribyrnong Trial Stakes. Do you sit back, put your feet up, have a cup of tea and watch this, or do you have an early luck tester with these trialers?
Look, I prefer to bet on 2-year-olds in February, not October. A lot of these horses are just coming off, you know, first or second trials, jump outs, that sort of thing. Don't be in a rush to get on here, punters. Unless you own one and you've been told that it's an absolute rocket ship, then, you know, just chill. Just
do you follow
relax,
the money?
Learn something. Well, I think if you're going to play in these races, it's probably a best way to go. The other thing is to look at the trials. Watch the trials. And I heard you mention on the Breakfast Club, Bold Type. Mm. Now, that horse ran second in its trial at Cranbourne. It was a heavy track. To my eye, it did everything absolutely perfectly well. And then it just wasn't allowed to, I guess, let go on a heavy track. It was just held together on that very heavy ground. It was beaten in the trial, and you'd say, oh, it was beaten. The other horse should beat it home again. It's not necessarily the case. Think about what these horses are doing. They're there at those barrier trials for education. A horse like Nomathage, again, ran second, but did everything perfectly well, was very straightforward, had gate speed. They're the little factors that you have to look for, rather than a horse that quickens into it, runs a bit green, runs around and wins the trial. In race pressure, if they're a little, you know, that little bit of greenness can sometimes bring them unstuck. So please be careful if you're betting in these early two-year-old races.
Well, David Hayes yesterday said that he actually had a leaning to Nomathage of his two, which was the bigger price as of yesterday. So it'll be interesting. Mm. Just because our fans love it, throw me your numbers.
Well, I don't have any numbers.
All right.
I don't have any. I've got a Scottish flag tattooed on my back, so Scottish Rogue should probably be in there.
There's, you've got a Scottish what on your back?
Scottish flag.
Oh, right. Why?
Oh, you know, we all make interesting decisions late at night in Glasgow.
A Scottish flag on your back?
Yeah, fair dinkum.
We're going to tweet that out later, ladies and gentlemen, just so you can see.
It's not happening.
My God. All right. No numbers in the first. The Murrumbong Trial Stakes. Follow the money if you want to have a crack, though. Race two is the Antler Luggage Stakes over 1,400 metres. This is going to be intriguing because we've got Esperance, who has promised the world so far, hasn't quite delivered, but is this the day that we get to see the real Esperance after that amazing debut?
Well, yeah, it was a terrific debut win, and then Sandown Lakeside win was solid. In Denial, I wouldn't be backing in this race, and that horse, you know, carried level weights and was taking ground off him late. Esperance, I think, is a horse for the autumn. I think whatever he does during the spring, he'll improve on. He still looks a bit raw and a bit new to it to me. I think the Dane Hill, the race that he comes through, is the best form reference, but I think Taking Aim's probably got more polish than Esperance at this point in time. Go back to the winter months, he was running really well in Queensland Sires and the Atkins and things like that. He's got form around Aloysia. I think that stands up really, really well. He was excellent in the Dane Hill. His last 150 was under minimal pressure, and he was taking a margin off horses like Booker, who we saw come out and win a group race last week, Jukebox, etc. I think he's ready to do something this weekend, Taking Aim. He's on top for me from Sir Coney.
Do you think the Sydney three-year-olds are better than the Melbourne three-year-olds?
I wouldn't say that at this point in time. I think there's some good three-year-olds here in Melbourne. Sir Coney is an example of that. He beat the older horses last time.
He's underrated, isn't he?
Very underrated. Very underrated. There wasn't a lot wrong with his Mackenzie run for a horse that you know is going to be better at 1,400 and a mile. He showed in his barrier trial he was back to his best and then won accordingly at good money when he was well backed at Caulfield. Don't underestimate that form line. It was a very, very good win. Numbers one and two stand out for me.
The Chauffeur's Scratch, the other Sydney sider, so he'll be racing in Sydney. So you're going with one to beat two.
Yep.
And do you find a hole for Esperance, or do you go with the younger ones? Well, not the younger, they're all the same age, but the ones who are less exposed down the bottom who have shown a lot of promise?
I think Hulme and Relson both want a bit more ground than this. They're both quite talented horses, though. They're probably looking for a mile. Bravo Tango, unbeaten, but he's a bit green for mine. The Warrnambool win last time, was it Warrnambool or Geelong? It was Geelong, actually, when they came really wide there on a heavy track. It was a really good win, but he's still doing a bit much wrong for me to warrant backing him stepping up to this grade, which is a strong metropolitan three-year-old city race where rivals have got group form.
All right, first leg of the early quarter, one to beat two. When we got our first pot of the day, Esperance can't win, says Mick Sharkey. Let's get on to race number three, the UCI Stakes over 1,800 metres. Now, this will be a little bit of a guide to races like the Derby. Interesting that Darren Weir's decided to run Cliff's Edge. I thought Cliff's Edge may have been on a bit of a Caulfield Guineas pass, but he's up to the 1,800, drawn a nice barrier again. Do you take that form line, or do you take the more Derby kind of traditional lead-in form line that we've seen in the past with the Weather With You form and the Sydney form, Animalia?
Yeah, Cliff's Edge sort of... I still think this horse needs everything to go right to win. And look, he got that at Caulfield last time, and fair play to him. He won the race fair and square. I think there are some horses in this race, and similar to what we saw in the Derby and Oaks trial a couple of weeks ago, they're untapped, and they're getting to their right distance ranges now. I'm talking about horses like, obviously, Sukumo, who was scratched, but Johnny Vinco, I think, is a really nice horse in the making. Main Stage, we saw him in that Derby trial, weather with you, through the same
staying 3-year-olds, Trent, Bussett and Natalie.
Yeah, Trent and Natalie really target those horses out of New Zealand. They test them, you know, they see what they've got, and they the good ones stand up, and they really do progress and get onto that that classic path, and they have a lot of success with those sort of horses. The horse that really interests me tomorrow is number 7, Abero. Now, if you go back to his first up run, he beat Wassergeist, who's got form through Weather With You and quite a nice talent in his own right. Moonee Valley never handled the track in a kind of a weird-o tempo race. And then he went to Flemington in that Derby trial. The tempo was against him. The race became a sit sprint. He was just too far off them to get into the race at all. His times were okay from the 600. He's going to go around at near $20 tomorrow, and I think I'd be more than happy to take that sort of price about him each way in a race where there's really not a lot between mm-hmm. these horses. There's a few of them here that are probably running in this race, hoping to get to a Derby because they're too slow to run in anything else. You know, they're not going to contest a stakes race at anything short of 2,000 metres. I think Abero's got a bit more scope.
All right, we like that. Abero currently showing at $21, Sharky. You're back if you can get Abero home.
No, I'm already here, don't worry.
What other numbers do you throw in the early quad?
Oh, man, these early quads. You do my head in with these early quads. Now, this would be the second leg of the early quad, in which case I'll be throwing in numbers. I'm going wide. 3, 4, 6, 7, 9, 11, 13, 14. One of those is out, Sukumo.
3, 4, 6, 7, 9, 11.
Yeah.
14.
14.
Okay, there you go, punters. That'll keep you alive in the second leg. The UCI Stakes Race 3 of Flemington. We're going to take a break. On the other side of this, it's the Gill Guy. We're going to catch up with Katie Mallion. I've got some SMSs coming through. Sharky, you're too funny. Are you backing Astoria as an omen from your Silver Top Taxi days? I don't know what that
silver
says.
Silver Top Taxi days?
Mm.
What are you thinking of David Gately?
I've got no idea there. Michael.
He used to hook up the taxi drivers, you know. He used to sit in the call centre. Actually, he found love in the David Gately taxi call centre.
Used to Really? He was a taxi call centre operator? I've probably abused him in the past.
He's probably just ridden off the road riding his bike and his little earpiece. Sorry, I outed you,
Gator. Michael, when you opened your show, you said it was the 6th of December. My producer, Benny Day, did tell me that. I apologise. So who won the cups? I wish I knew. Wish it was the 6th of December. We could go back. What about 9-year-old Cows? She's been racing against in Sydney. Don't knock the Sydney racing, God forbid. That's from Keith. I'm not sure what that's in relation to. This one here, in regards to the Turnbull, I can recall Dandy Andy going around at 100-1. What was he doing in the race? Oh yeah, bloody well, it can win. Lightning can strike twice. That's from Bob of Albion. Morning, gentlemen. Sharky, next time you're talking to Clinton McDonald, could you ask him about trying to gay crash the Richmond Players Party last Saturday night?
Touching that with a 10-foot pole.
All right, we're actually doing a live OB out at Caulfield Trackwork, which we're looking forward to. It's huge super show next Tuesday for the morning guys. Yeah. Come. More the merrier. Guys. We might get Clinton on to have a chat about that as well. Hey, let's get into the Gill Guy, race number 4, the first of the features, a Group 2. Intriguing race. Not a big field. Can't wait to see the quarterback back in action. Silent Sedition, Spieth. Is Spieth getting in a bit tight now?
Possibly. Possibly. The quarterback and Silent Sedition have both trialled and jumped out well. And I know Dean Lester's very keen on Silent Sedition, but he can't be right all the time, can he?
But he's just putting us off the quarterback, isn't he?
Well, possibly. Possibly. I hope it means we get a better price about Spieth because, you know, I think this is the sort of race that just suits him beautifully. He can just get a lovely little trail here and use his turn of foot to rip up the last 200 and hopefully Bryce gets his win down the straight with this horse. He certainly deserves it. Spieth's been a terrific straight horse, you know, narrowly beaten in a Lightning, narrowly beaten in a Daly Classic. Surely this is his chance to get a straight track win. Corey Brown on, and I've got him on top.
Is there any concern that it doesn't look like there's going to be any speed, and we know they sit up down the straight?
Well, they all kind of need a little bit of speed, don't they? I know Silent Sedition can sit closer to the pace, but the quarterback's going to need pace. Allman, probably not for him this race. Keena Ray might be just a little out of his depth. Malibu Style might be the one that sets the tempo, just rolling forward there for Steve Parnham. Bonds away, Land of Plenty get back. So most of the field like to be held up and dash home. In that case, if that's the scenario, I want to be on the horse with the best turn of foot. I think Spieth has got the best ability to quicken I guess, in a sit sprint.
Well, the horse who may control the race and the jockey on top is Caitlin Mallion, and we speak a Science Edition. It's always great to have a chat to Katie. How are you, Katie?
I'm very good, thanks, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. Good to chat to you on what could be a big day. You've got Science Edition in the group too, and you're going to try and knock off Winks on a sign, who I'll ask you about in a moment. But Science Edition, I know you love this horse, gave you your Group 1. We spoke to Andrew Nobler early in the week, said that she's come back in ripping form. First up, how do you see the race unfolding?
Yeah, as you were just saying, is there's definitely no speed in this race. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not someone takes the initiative and sort of takes it up. And I think Malibu style probably will do that. But then again, he can be slow out of the barriers too. So it's going to be very interesting going up the straight. I'm not going to overthink it. The horse is going really well. And, it's just fingers crossed we can get the right run and she can kick off her spring campaign with a win.
Kate, she jumped out really well at Caulfield a couple of weeks ago. Were you on her in that jump out? And if you've done any work with her, does she feel to you that she's at her absolute best?
Yeah, I've done all the work on her this prep, and she's definitely come back in good order. She come back with a big coat, and then overnight it just seems like she's lost it, and she just looks outstanding. Andrew Noblet's done a fantastic job, and the horse she's well placed on Saturday, and obviously speed's probably the biggest danger in the race, but then again he's going to need lots of speed on as well, so. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's very exciting. She's definitely obviously not wound up to... we've got a long prep ahead of us. A big spring, so hopefully we can get a bit of luck on Saturday and she can kick it off with a good run.
She's going to be very hard to beat in the Gilguy. I'm intrigued about the Turnbull. What are you going to do on a sign? Are you going to lead them a merry dance?
Well, I'm not too sure. I haven't really got my instructions just yet. So, it's obviously a small field with a lack of speed in the race. It just seems like a sign probably would be the obvious leader, just like he likes to do. But until I speak to Lloyd, I'm not too sure what I'm going to do on him. But it's really exciting to get out there and be versing the champ.
Mm. It'll be amazing.
In a race, when you're running against a champion, Katie, and look, let's be honest, the sign on his form probably can't beat Winks. Do you get a bit of a thrill that you're going to be part of her story, to a degree, and you'll be out there on the track with her, and at some point she'll probably go past you, and you'll be able to just marvel firsthand at that acceleration?
Yeah, exactly. No, I can't wait to get out there, and obviously, I'm sure there's going to be a big crowd watching her and watching her every move going down the roses, it is definitely exciting. I think I've ridden against Atlantic Jewel one day at Mooney Valley. It's probably the closest thing I've come to a really good horse riding against. Anyway, it's really exciting, and I can't wait to get out there on Saturday.
Well, I think we'll all be surprised if you can knock off the Mighty Mare, but we won't be as surprised if Charmed Harmony can win the last, because, gee, it was a cracking run last start in the Lawrence.
Yeah, this horse is absolutely flying. I've been doing a lot of work on him, and John and I have been pulling our hair out, just not being able to get him to the races just for the tracks being too firm, because he's been going so well at home, and obviously that run against Hartnell, he's definitely flying. And yeah, I'm fingers crossed the track's not too firm for him tomorrow, because I'm sure if he can get his toe into it, he's going to run really well.
Well, Katie, good luck tomorrow. Out of the two, Silence Sedition, Charmed Harmony, who are you most confident with?
Oh, I'm confident with both, Michael. Both horses are going really well, so I couldn't choose one.
All right. Just a double will do.
That'd be very nice.
Good luck tomorrow, Katie.
Thank you.
Katie Mallion there, who is on Silence Sedition in the Gilguy. You're keen on Spieth. Give us your second, third, fourth numbers.
Silence Sedition quarterback next. And then, look, you can throw in Bonds Away, number 7.
Yeah, he's going very, very well. He was huge last start, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a good horse, this one. Yeah, just coming up nicely through the grades.
All right. And then we get to the Mighty Winks in the Sepple Turnbull Stakes. Is it a space job, or will Humidor give her a little scare?
Yeah, he may give her a scare. Probably needs some tempo, though, I would have thought, to be matching her turn of foot. Remember, he did get that good early tempo last time, which no doubt helped him finish his race off. She probably beats Humidor, and Ventura Storm will run third. I was at Lindsay Park yesterday, spent most of the day between Euroa and Flemington. I can tell you what, Ventura Storm, he is a proper beast. You want to have a look at him in the mounting yard. He is a beautiful, beautiful horse and coming along very nicely for a Melbourne Cup. I think he's going to be right there come Cup day.
Really? So did you get any little snippets you can give us?
I'll tell you
the
off
inside
air.
Word?
Off air.
All right, I'll tweet it later.
Now, I want to put something on you. Hashtag the Mighty Mare. I'm going to say that you dubbed Winx the Mighty Mare. I'm going to say that.
Did I? Right,
I'd be claiming it if I was you. Let's face it, you know, because we're remembered for certain things in our lives. And as a broadcaster of your ilk, I think hitching your little
cart. Don't know about that, but anyway.
Hitching your cart to a champion horse like Winx, I think you should be doing that.
I don't think I was
Yeah,
the
you
only
did.
One.
You dubbed it. The Mighty Mare. Well done.
Okay. Lovely. All right. Is that what you wanted to say? Excellent,
That's
Sharky.
All I wanted to say.
Lovely. All right. Let's move on. Don't know where that was going there. All right, now we're on to the first leg of the Ridgy Didge Quaddie. This is the Tab Edward Manifold Stakes. And looks like we might get a little bit of value in the Quaddie, I think, tomorrow, because this is a fat field to start with. I was a big Anchor Bid fan before her flopperoony last start. But speaking to Darren Weir earlier in the week, he thinks the blinkers might have turned her around. Do you think this will be a race in two between the Weir Gallopers, Leather and Lace, and Anchor Bid?
Possibly. I think there are a couple of others here that might get busy at the finish. Anchor Bid, I just want to see the blinkers work with her. I think she's a horse you just throw in your quaddie, but as far from as you know, backing her as an individual is concerned, I'll pass on that tomorrow. Leather and Lace is one of those fillies at this time here that you can see has just really come on from that autumn campaign, late 2-year-old sort of campaign. Improved, just taken through the grades nicely by Weir. She's running good times compared to other runners at the same distance on each day she races. They didn't sort of lope around at Caulfield. She was running some good sectionals out in front, kicked and kept going strongly and you know, had a little bit in hand at the end of the race. Banish Uptown Girl, they were entitled to take ground off her because she was running, you know, along at a fairly decent clip in front. I think she's very hard to beat here. I've noticed she's been a little easy in early markets. That doesn't bother me so much. These markets are usually at a high percentage. Let them adjust. If she continues to ease on race day, that's probably more of a concern. Two others in the run that are probably less exposed than Leather and Lace, Anchor Bid and Co. Bring Me Roses, she's still a maiden. She was 7 weeks, 1,400 to 1,600 last time in Adelaide in a stakes race and ran some really nice sectionals there. Tony McAvoy's going very well. I'd be throwing her in everything. And He Arm, right down the bottom for Mick Price. I really, really liked this filly's maiden win at Ballarat. There were some good times comparative again on the day at 1,400 metres. For her on that occasion, I think she'll stay all day. She might be another that improves into an autumn campaign, but I'll be certainly throwing her in the quaddie tomorrow. Wouldn't surprise me if she stood up at this level.
Yeah, she's some nice value too at $18. And we spoke before to Brad Taylor, and he gave us a good push for Pageantry at $26 as well. So it's going to be an intriguing race. Leather and Lace will have to go forward, you'd imagine, from that barrier that Weary said the other day. Can any of these progress to 1,000 guineas and be super competitive?
No, probably not 1,000 guineas, but it wouldn't surprise me if some of these ended up in, say, a Caulfield Classic and then moved on towards a Wakeful and possibly an Oaks. There are a few fillies here that are bred to sort of get a little bit of a trip. And as we know, you don't have to exactly be a dour stayer to win an Oak. So if you can have that little bit of sharpness and get 2,000, I think some of these horses might maybe looking towards that as a goal.
All right, are you going wide in the first leg or are you trimming?
Oh, look, moderately so. 1, 3, 4, 7, 12, 17 for me.
1, 3, 4, 7, 12 and 17. 1, 3, 4, 7, 12 and 17 in the first leg of the quaddie for Mick Sharkey. We're going to take a short break on the other side of this. We'll get into the Bart Cummings. A lot of rumours swirling around about Al Mandon. About will he run? The conspiracy theorists are saying he might be scratched tomorrow to get Crocodile Rock into the Melbourne Cup. We'll cover that up next. Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Race 7 is the Bart Cummings. We get to see the ruling Melbourne Cup favourite Al Mandon in action again. Although, Sharky, people have been texting you, tweeting you, saying he's going to be scratched.
Well, there was all sorts of conspiracy theories this week, wasn't there, that our Manning's there to sort of drop the weights down for Crocodile Rock, who probably needs to win this to guarantee a place in the race, and our Manning would be coming out late. But look, that was all flying around, and people are, you know, rightly, I guess, going to hypothesise.
People were saying that Damien Oliver's been booked for a horse in the Herbert Power.
And they were assuming it was our Manning, where Lloyd Williams has got 485 very, very good stayers that he could throw towards a Herbert Power. And because you're so well connected, I believe you've...
I text Lloyd and very thankful that Lloyd has text back. And he says the horse is perfect. It will be running and hopefully winning. So if you like Al Mandan, you can shovel it on without any fear. He's into even money now. And really, can you see him getting beaten?
No, not if he turns up in the form that he did a couple of weeks ago at Flemington. He... You know, as much as we will all go to Flemington tomorrow and revel in Winx's glory and her aura, we should be doing similar for our Mandan. This is an 8-year-old Melbourne Cup winner who hadn't raced in a couple of years, who was nursed through a terrific winning streak last spring, who produced a fantastic finish to win one of the best finishes in the modern Melbourne Cup. He's come back arguably better. His win in that JRA trophy was phenomenal. Mm. I know it says 2¾ lengths. It could have been 8, let's be honest. This is a very, very, very good stayer, the likes of which we haven't seen for a few years here in Australia across a season or two. You know, you get the Europeans that come in and race well and then they nick off. But Al Mandan is a horse to be appreciated tomorrow. Go to the races. Enjoy what should be another very, very good staying performance. He will beat Harlem. And look, Crocodile Rock's in the mix again with Venga Mask, who should be ready to really fire. A couple of good runs on times. Ninth and ninth doesn't really say it for Venga Mask, but he's just about ready.
I think these are underneath Al Mandan some really nice promising horses. I think Amelia's Star, she was big last start behind Harlem. And Harlem, he looks huge as well. And Crocodile Rock, any other year would be spruiking. Crocodile Rock is a really good chance for Lloyd in the Melbourne Cup.
I reckon Group 2 level's about Amelia's Star's go. I think that sort of sees her out. And that's nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. There's going to be some nice races for her during the spring. But I just think she's found out a little against the absolute cream of the staying crop. She's racing really well, but I think horses like Al Mandan and Harlem should be beating her home.
One out in the quaddie?
Yeah, look, probably is. I'm going to take Harlem with it, just okay, for a little bit of value, just in case traffic or something like that happens, because Harlem is entirely capable on his day.
What did the Hayes camp say to yesterday? Who's their number one seed, Harlem or Ventura Storm?
Caulfield, for which
Melbourne Cup? Caulfield?
Caulfield Cup, I get the sense it's Harlem, and Melbourne Cup, very, very much Ventura Storm.
Interesting.
Can get their imports right too.
Yeah, they certainly can.
Lindsay Park team, should I say.
That is the Bart Cummings Al Mandan. Definitely running even money. Looks the one to beat. Sharky's thrown in Harlem as a saver as well. Race 8 is the Blazer. This is probably the most open race of the day. It's a cracking event, as you'd expect. A Group 2 for the mares, over 1,400 metres. Gee whiz, are you going wide here?
Yes, kind of. Oh, handful no. of horses go in the quaddie. I've got a theory about this race, and I'm going to back two horses on the basis of this theory, which is always dangerous. Euro Angel, horse number 7. She is very, very talented. She's been wearing earmuffs. Now, I've never donned the muffs ever in my time. Not much of a snow bunny. I've had no cause to wear the muffs. But you do hear trainers from time to time saying, well, horses wear earmuffs over a consistent period, they can go a little bit stale. Now, if you watch Euro Angel this campaign, particularly her last two, she's been a bit slow to muster speed. In fact, she's been dropping a couple of lengths off the second last horse in her races. If you go back early in her career, she was able to take a position just on the back of the pace or midfield or a touch forward. She looked a bit sharper. The earmuffs come off. I think the Hawks team are banking on that, just sharpening her back up. I also think she runs or she goes better the Melbourne way. So I'm going to factor that in as well. I'm punting on that little bit of staleness being caused by too long in the muffs. If I'm wrong, she may well be in season or thinking of a career as a broodmare. Mm. So I'm going to. It's a gamble, but I'm willing to take it tomorrow.
All right. She's $8.50.
Yes.
So Euro Angel.
And look, at $8.50, I'm happy to take that price because I think she's a genuine Group 2 class mare. Dwayne Dunn rides her. He's had a good record on her before. They'll do no work from gate seven. If she begins well, and if she is that little bit of sharper, a little bit sharper without the earmuffs, she can sit midfield or forward, which is a beautiful, beautiful scenario. Ellie Kazoom's the other horse I want to look at price. Caught three wide on the speed, no cover, at Caulfield fresh. She kept fighting and kept boxing on. Remember last campaign, she had form around I'm a Star, Savannah Amore. She was giving Savannah Amore weight when that horse beat her last prep. I think she's a pretty good talent. May need one more, but she's going to run really well tomorrow.
Miss Rock, Sword of Light, French Emotion apparently has worked well. I don't know where to end here. What chance do you give those? How wide are you going to go? Petition?
I'm going to go one prompt response, four Sword of Light, seven Euro Angel, 10 Ellie Kazoom, 14 Now or Later.
Yes.
I'm taking a risk on Petition from a wide gate, although I can see that it is going well and is ready to win. I'm taking a risk on Oregon's Day from a wide gate and French Emotion from a wide gate. I'm risking those three purely on that basis.
Miss Rock, Strawberry of Five. Don't like her?
It's not that I don't like her. I just think she was really, really good first up. And since then, she's been good without really, you know, setting my world on fire.
All right. Well, the numbers are 1, 4, 7, 10, 14 for Sharky in the third leg of the quaddy. He's tipping Euro Angel, an $8.50 chance in the Blazer Stakes. And the last is the Paris Lane. Doesn't get that much easier here. I know New Tipperary's been very well back this morning. Dibiani's out. All Our Roads is also out. And anytime Dean Lester tips them on a Friday morning, they firm. And that's exactly what's occurred with New Tipperary.
Yeah, I really like this horse. I love him in Sydney. I've been lucky enough to get on him a couple of times when he's been winning. He's a big, powerful fellow that finishes really well, can run a good sectional. He was excellent his last 200 metres first up. He's got an awesome second up record. I'm not telling you anything you can't read in a form guide. The issue with the horse, though, is the little bit of tempo we probably need in this race. Charmed Harmony is in it. He looks like he'll set that pace, but we know that he can be taken out of races if the track is too firm. So we probably want it to be around that good four at the start of the day. I'm hoping it sort of stays with a little bit of give, or certainly enough for Charmed Harmony to take his place, because he's a really important runner. Outside of him, you're looking at Burning Front, Good Project to go and set the pace, and I don't think they'll really rip along. Lavani's probably another one, but I'd love it if Charmed Harmony was in the race to make it a genuinely run race for New Tipperary. As far as the quaddie goes, I'm only throwing in two others. Number 12, Wind Spell. Whether or not he's looking for a mile now is the query that I had. I thought his run last start was excellent at Caulfield behind Sir Coney. Soci Bond through that race as well has been going really nicely, but maybe just looking for that mile. And as a roughie, St. Valorum had no luck in that Sir Coney Windspell race, was hemmed away back on the rails, couldn't really get a crack at him at any stage. He's been, you know, a little unlucky since his really good benchmark 78 win. Four starts back. I know that's a step up in grade, but he's been running well at open handicap level without much luck. So just chuck him in as a bit of value.
All right. Gee, you're going skinny there. I'd be throwing Mongolian Wolf in first up as well, just as a little speck. And Pure Pride, what are your thoughts on her? She finally gets to a race that looks suitable down in the weights. Or has it taken any effect when a horse just races against the best and has so much bad luck that they don't win?
The other thing is she's only won one race That's from 15 right. starts. And yes, she's been tried in really good races. And yes, she's run well on occasion. The other thing to include is she gets a long way out of her ground and she runs home. And on the clock, horses like that can often tease you because you say, oh, wow, it's run the fastest last four and it's run this and it's run that. And we get caught up in times, but they still have to be able to tactically put themselves in a position to win a given race, and that's what Pure Pride just struggles to do. I'd risk her. I'd probably risk Mongolian Wolf first up at 1400. I think there's some sharper horses in the race, but he's got some class about him.
All right, give me those three numbers again, mate.
8, 12 and 16.
8, 12 and 16 is the way home for the quaddy. We'll take a break. I'll recap the full quaddy numbers. We'll get Shark's Best from Flemington. He's got a runner tonight, which he says will be winning at Moonee Valley as well. We're going to catch up. We're going to catch up with Bjorn Baker as well, just quickly as well. He nearly killed himself trying to slam dunk a basketball, and I'm sure he's got a winner at Randwick as well. Now, if you've been scrolling through social media in the past 12 hours or so, you'll have seen one of the funniest pieces of social media we've seen from Bjorn Baker. If Funniest Home Videos was on, I think Bjorn's staring down the barrel of a brand new car after he tried to slam dunk a basketball in his back garden. And I think his lovely little daughter might have rolled a big fitness ball underneath him just as he landed. And gee whiz, he's gone close to going headfirst into the bricks. He joins us now. How are you, Bjorn?
Good, thanks, Michael. Yeah, I didn't attempt it. I did get the slam dunk. I want to clear that up firstly. But the landing wasn't so good.
Was that something that you were planning, or did your little daughter just roll it out at that most inopportune time?
I saw it come out of the corner of my eye, but I was committed. So once you're committed, you can't stop. So it's one of those things we're debating who rolled it out, but it's nice to know my family care about me. They all came afterwards, and I don't know whether I'm well-liked on social media or hated. Either way, it's got plenty of traction.
Bjorn, congratulations on breaking the internet. It's Mick Sharkey here. Now, do you see the irony in the fact that you know, you're probably not as svelte as you used to be, and your lack of athletic prowess was brought unstuck by an object that you probably should be using more of, the fitness ball?
Yeah, well, someone did comment. There's a few funny comments, like Bjorn to fly. There's one Bjorn every minute. And someone said, yeah, the fitness ball, surely that's not yours. Ha, ha, ha. But I've actually been on a bit of a health kick lately, hence is why I could get the 10 centimetres air.
Well, someone told me that it was only 6 foot, that ring too, by the way.
Come on, guys, it was full height.
Well, we are very happy to hear that you are fit, up and about, and considering you did get that slam dunk, if you got another slam dunk for us tomorrow at Royal Randwick, you've got a few nice runners. Who's your best?
Oh, I think Sir Plush. He's really come through his last win. It was dominant well last time. He gets in with a low weight. He's fit. He'll be on speed, so... the luck shouldn't be a factor for him. And I think Imposing Lass will run a really good race each way.
Oh, we like that. So Sir Plush in race 5, Imposing Lass in the next. Well done, Bjorn. Hopefully we'll see you playing for the Tall Blacks very, very soon.
Thanks, guys.
Bjorn Baker there. Get on to Twitter. It's on RSN's website. I've tweeted out as well, or Bjorn Baker's. It is very, very funny. Thank goodness he didn't hurt himself. Sharky, you've been... mediocre funny. Now, we want to try and get your best bet.
Can only build from here. I'm going to bank on Spieth.
Spieth?
Yeah, I think Spieth's turn of foot will be too sharp tomorrow. And Abrero each way. He's okay. my best at odds.
Very good.
Best interstate, Dawn Wall, race 8 at Sydney.
No, but hang on, you don't get off that lightly. Mooney Valley tonight. Mooney Valley tonight, you've got a runner and you've declared it off air. Tell the listeners.
Now, can I just say, there is no way on God's green earth that I would be driving an hour and a half cross town with a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old in tow to watch one race if I didn't think it could win.
Race 2, number 5.
Kingway. And it will be a long and arduous trip home if this horse gets beaten tonight. So, Bo Mertens, if you're listening, brother, I need your help.
All right. He's declared it. The stable's declaring Kingway. Get your cash early at the Valley. We'll all up it tomorrow at Flemington. I hope you've enjoyed the show, punters. Hopefully we found you a winner or two. We'll put Sharky's tips up on the website. If you want to hear any of the interviews, you can download them off the RSN website as well. We'll be back on Monday from 8:30 and we'll relive what hopefully will be another stellar win by Winx. It's been another big week on Racing Pulse.